And last week we talked about taking the plunge and going all in with Jesus. There's too much at risk if we waste time by not putting our faith in Jesus right away. But if you think about the idea of taking the plunge, the next question would be, okay, we take the plunge, now what? You have gone in for Jesus. Now what are you going to do? It's time to swim. It's time to move. I know that I have spoke to people in the past who have told me that they put their faith in Jesus, but they don't feel different. They don't feel anything. Life goes on as it had in the past. And that might be true for their circumstances because they haven't made any changes. Faith in Jesus is more than just head knowledge or a confession of belief in Christ. Faith is much more than that. It is such a strong belief in Christ that your life changes to become more like Him, to follow His teachings, to get to know Him better, to follow His commandments. That's faith. It moves us. I think there are times that people might have a mighty encounter with God at a retreat. They might have this great connection with the Lord at a conference or at a special time of worship, and they experience this closeness to the Lord that they've never had before, and they make this confession of belief or this confession to follow Jesus. But when the event or the time ends, they go back to the same old life. The experience is over and they no longer feel close or feel like anything is different. Maybe that's something you can identify with. You know, when I was a kid, I liked to jump in the deep end of a swimming pool. And not just hop in. When I wanted to jump in, I did what was a cannonball. It was called a cannonball. Anyone know what those are? Yeah. Yeah. You just jump in, or you just take a leap, you bring your knees up to your chest, you grab your legs like this, which I probably couldn't do anymore. But then you want to get this big splash. That was the point of the cannonball, to make a big splash. But after going into the water, what if I just kept in that tucked position and tightly hold my legs? What if that's all I wanted to, that was the end result? I just jump in, do the cannonball, and I just hold my legs after going in. Well, I wouldn't be able to breathe. I'd be underwater. I would need to let go and start swimming. I mean, it seems kind of obvious. But last week, in my message, I spoke of taking the plunge and going all in for Jesus. Doing cannonballs for Jesus, right? I don't know. It seemed to work in my study, but I don't think it really does here. It kind of goes off track. But we know that Jesus is the one who saves us. But as a response, we are also having to move toward Him as He moves towards us. We go all in for Jesus, but it isn't just, okay, I did it, and now that's it. We need to start swimming. We need to start moving. James 4, 7 through 8. I'd like to read that for you this morning. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. As I was studying for today's message, this passage came to mind. Submit to God. That is taking the plunge. That is going all in. In other words, that is being fully submitted to the Lord. Everything fully submitted. This in turn requires you to resist the devil, to resist temptations. That's an action. Resist is an action that we are to take. That's an action that we are responsible for. This is something that we need to do. We are to actively draw near to God. We are moving in His direction. We are moving in His direction through the changes in our actions. We are moving in His direction when we read His Word and we get to know Him more. We're moving in His direction when we communicate with Him in prayer. We're moving in His direction when we spend time with Him. Well, what is the cleansing of our hands? Again, it's turning away from the sins of our hands. Sins of what we do, we are to turn away from them. Our actions. We are also to turn away from the sins of our hearts, the sins that may not be seen by everyone else, but they're there. There's no room for double-mindedness. That is basically to have a mind for one time and location and circumstance and another mind for a different time, location, and circumstance. You can't go to church and love and worship God on a Sunday and turn around and party it up like there's no God and no consequences to actions the next day or during the week. That's a double-mindedness. I have a mind for Sunday morning and another mind for a different time. There's no place for the double mind in the life of a faithful believer. Now, I've really gotten ahead of myself. You're basically getting my conclusion as an introduction. That's the conclusion. Now, I'll go ahead and start the message. So if you want to turn with me to 1 Peter, we're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting with verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Now, we've talked at length in a number of my messages about Christ's suffering. He suffered on the cross. He suffered for our sins. He suffered to bring us to God, to bridge the gap that sin caused. He suffered. His suffering was also fulfilling His Father's will. Remember Jesus' words in the garden before His betrayal, "Not my will, but yours be done." Peter is telling us to arm yourselves with that same attitude. We live in Wisconsin, so when you hear the words arm yourself, most of us are going to think of arming ourselves with a weapon, right? Most households have guns. You think of arming. Arm yourselves. It's to have a weapon ready. But what Peter is saying is not arm yourselves with a weapon, like we might think. He's saying to arm yourselves with a Christ-like attitude. Take on and be ready with the attitude. I am ready and willing to suffer in the body if that ends up being something I have to endure to fulfill God's will. The attitude is not my will be done, but the Lord's will be done. Something we might say is, "Lord, let your will be done in me." And whatever journey or whatever path or whatever that looks like in my life, let your will be done in me. Now, the reality of that statement might just take you somewhere you never thought. "Not my will, but yours be done" took me from Minnesota to Missouri. Missouri, one of the two. And then to Jump River. I don't like heat. That's the only reason why I said that. And poisonous snakes and spiders and scorpions. But it took me from law enforcement to a pastor. "Not my will, but yours" took me from comfortable to uncomfortable. not my will, but yours, took me from having my life planned out to the moment I knew I was going to retire with a retirement to, you know what, I don't know that I'm ever going to retire. Took me from planned life to, I'm not sure what God has in store. You know what? Not my will, but your will be done, Lord, in me. Took me through also some pain and hardships. I wouldn't give any of them up, but they weren't good going through. See, your journey might look very different for you. But arm yourself with that attitude, not my will, but yours be done. Having that attitude. So though your future, your journey may look different, there is one thing in following the Lord's will that is the same for all of us. And that's, we need to put away sin. Our sin might be different, but we need to put away sin. Jesus suffered in the body. We're told in Scripture here that He is done with sin. He does not live the rest of His earthly life for evil human desires. Resist the devil. Resist temptation. Turn away from sin. Turn away from the desires within us that are outside of God's will. We can be some pretty broken people at times. And desires can range widely from one person to another, but if we have the same attitude as Christ, then we will take the stand against sin, even if there are desires within us that want to take part in them. It is a stand against sin. Is that easy? Sometimes no. Other times it's just making changes in our life, in our lifestyles. But there has to be an effort on our part. There must be action on our part to put to death our old sinful self. I'd like to read Romans 6:6 for you. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Christ's sacrifice released us from the bondage of sin. We're no longer slaves to sin, we're free. But there are some who simply make excuses in life and take on the victim mentality that, you know what, I can't help it. I can't help it. The sins in my life. Some might even say, I was made this way. That you were born with a sinful nature, but all of us were. When we accept Christ, He gives you freedom. But here's something a little bit about freedom. Freedom means nothing if it's not exercised. Freedom from sin means little if you choose to stay in it. Can it be hard to leave certain sins? Absolutely, you bet it can be hard. Bad habits, addictions, it can be hard. Especially if you've had years building up those. That is why it is crucifying the old self. Crucifying is a slow death. And that's what we need to do with some of these habits, some of the sins in our lives. They need to go. Satan would love nothing other than keeping you believing that you cannot help sinning or you cannot stop sinning. He wants you to think that you are powerless to sin and temptation. He wants the lie to continue so that you will not turn away from it. And let me tell you this. You would not be called to turn away if you were unable to. When you receive Christ, you also receive His Holy Spirit. You have the same Spirit in you that Christ had in Him when He was raised from the dead. you have been given not only the ability to turn away from sin, but you've been given a whole new life in Christ. Take on the attitude of Christ and live fully submitted to Him, and you will see life in Christ a whole new way. You're not powerless. Because of what Christ has done, and also the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, you have a tremendous, tremendous power at your disposal that Satan would love nothing other than to keep you from it. Let's continue reading on our verses here. I've only made it through verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4 of 1 Peter. Let's start with verse 3. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give an account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the Spirit. That verse 3 speaks of living a life of sin in the past. As a follower of Christ, having taken on the attitude of Christ, you're no longer taking part in the old way of life. That's kind of what Peter's getting at here. Peter gives examples of sins in this little section here. The New Living Translation words them a little differently, but I want to share that with you. Immorality and lust, feasting and drunkenness and wild parties and terrible worship of idols. It's interesting that the sins Peter highlights then are still just as much alive today. This is very much applicable to us today, just the same. And I would say that if you have participated in these, it's time to be done. It's time. I find it interesting that Peter mentions the whole pressure from others to do these. People think it's strange that you do not plunge into these sins with them. When we take that plunge with Christ, when we go all in with Him, then we have to be all out when it comes to undisciplined or unrestrained living and activities like immorality, lust, feasting, drunkenness, wild parties, and worshiping anything or anyone other than the one true God. Yet when others see that that you are not with them, what's going to happen? Peter says they think you are now strange for abandoning that old way of life and heap abuse on you. We see a couple of things happening here when we're fully submitted. Number one, your life changes. When we are fully submitted to the Lord, our life changes. Again, this is a theme that continues to go through here. And if your life doesn't change, you need to check your heart to see whether you really submitted to the Lord. When fully submitted, your life will change. It has to. Your old friends who knew you in your old life will see that there's a difference. At first, they might not understand. At first, they might just shrug it off and even just think, well, you're acting a little strange today. But sooner or later, they're going to pressure you back into that life again. You're no longer fitting into their way of life with their sin because you're no longer participating in it with them. The pressure will be there. Understand now, what will you do when the pressure comes? And I can even say here at this moment that even if you've been living as a Christian your whole life, anticipate that there is going to be pressure that's going to come in the future. Even if you've never lived that way. I'll say many young adults who head off to college or head off out on their own, they're going to find at some point you're going to be pressured into this life. Choose now, what will you do when the pressure comes? You know, we can be transparent here. There are going to be times that those things might look like fun or enjoyable. Might even feel like you're left out if you're not taking part. May feel like you might be missing out on something. There might even be this inner desire, inner draw that, hey, I want to check this out. I want to know what this is like. I want to say, choose now what you're going to do. Not when the time comes. When the pressure comes, what are you going to do? And for those who have friends that have not come to Christ, we see something else. Unfortunately, what Peter is pointing out here is friends move from being friends to being persecutors. If you will not follow them, they will turn on you, and as Peter says, they will heap abuse on you. And I know that many of you know what this feels like. I know that you may have experience in that. Some of you may actually be struggling with this right now. And you're at a crossroad. You are either all in for Jesus and willing to accept all the hardships it may bring in our time now with old friends and with dying to your old self. Or you're wanting to keep the old way of life and follow their pressure and give in, pushing away Christ rather than moving toward Him. What Peter says next is something that you need to keep in mind as you're struggling on which way to go. Verse 5 says clearly that they will have to give an account. All those who are choosing to follow after the undisciplined and unrestrained life and to live without the attitude of Christ, they will have to give an account to the judge. And Jesus is the ultimate judge. Either you'll be found faithful in Jesus Christ or you will not. None of us can save ourselves, but as we know, Christ gave His life that we can know salvation. Without Christ, our destination will be the lake of fire for eternity. That lake of fire is hell. It is a real place. When we're all in with Jesus, we look forward to being with Him in heaven for eternity. Heaven is a real place. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found. Well, I'll put it up here. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. We see that we will be judged whether we are still alive or dead. The end of verse 6, Peter gives his purpose for the gospel being preached, that people will come to know Christ and to receive eternal life in the Spirit, despite what hardships they may be going through today. Our life today is but a moment in eternity. I'm almost done, but I want to just leave you with a couple of things. Don't let eternal life in heaven pass you by for a few measly years indulging human desires here. It's kind of important, so if you miss that, don't let eternal life in heaven pass you by for a few measly years of indulging human desires here and now. There is so much more to life. Go all in for Jesus and begin moving toward Him and making the necessary changes. Your old sinful self needs to be dead. Put it in the grave and start living for Christ. And I say that knowing full well that it's the Holy Spirit who strengthens us and guides us. But we are responsible for moving. We are responsible for listening. It's time to move. And it's time to move towards Christ. Don't just jump in and say, well, it didn't work, and hop out. Let's go in for Jesus and start moving toward Him.